Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, January 10th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim. Gettys.
Bless, how are you doing on this fine Monday?
I'm doing good. I think it might be the longest I've gone without hosting a KFGD since I got hired.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because last week was a weird one. You know, Greg's return, and he took over a lot more of the shows. He had that energy he had to get out. It's already over. Now he's just back. Now, no more celebrating Greg being back, everybody, okay? It happened. Congratulations. You're here. You're talking about video games.
You had a baby. You did it. You did the thing that most people on this planet do.
The world.
Man, some might say that this planet is overpopulated. Why are you out here having babies, Greg?
Damn.
Greg.
Think of it that way, Greg?
Yeah.
Greg.
Greg. Tim, it's nice to be here with you. It's been a minute. I feel like I haven't done a one-on-one show with you for a while, right? Because like schedules always get mixed up depending on what's going on during any given week. It's nice to see your face.
Well, the thing is, we didn't last week, and then before that was the break. So it's been at least 3 weeks, which is crazy.
It's been at least 3 weeks. How you been?
I've been good, real good. You know, I've been working on the theater. It's been my kind of big major project for my entire life, if you want to look at it that way. But specifically during the break, trying to dial it in, get everything cable managed. There's a lot of cables to manage, turns out.
What's been the latest update?
Latest update is things are looking fucking hot fire, let me tell you what. The latest update is Kevin and I have been trying to get subwoofer, like the bass shakers in the seats for all of them, which is awesome. And they're in there, but now I need to cable them all up.
This might be a question for Kevin, but like, at what point do you like install some 4DX type shit in there?
Water's getting squirted
in your face.
Yeah, that'll never happen because like, I don't think anyone but me loves that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, he's got everything you need because he's got the butt shakers in there. It's not what they're called, but
bass shakers.
But and like, that's a game changer.
Yeah,
like, there's a
I can't wait for you to experience it, Bless. It's gonna change you.
I can't wait to get back in there. What's the next? Mm-hmm. What are you gonna break it in with?
I don't know. It's really kind of COVID dependent, and it's what I'm thinking is when Spider-Man No Way Home comes to home video. God, I sound like an old man, but whenever that happens,
home video.
Oh man, I can't wait for that, Tim. Mm-hmm. You know what else I can't wait for? From Software's next game being Armored Core, Take-Two acquiring Zynga for $12 billion and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. $12 billion. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Somebody made a mistake there.
Oh, man. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in, and silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you. As a reminder, we dropped a hot new line of merch over on kindoffunny.com/store. So go check that out if your torso needs some new shirts. Kind of Funny also has a new TikTok account. If you want some decent laughs at quick bursts, you can follow the account at Kind of Funny Games on TikTok. Then remember, you can rate and review podcasts now on Spotify. So do me a favor and give Kind of Funny Games Daily and PS I Love You XOXO 5 stars if you have Spotify. And if you don't have Spotify, download Spotify and do me a quick solid. I don't have this written down, but also PS I Love You XOXO is recording later today. We're talking all about PSVR with special guest Taylor Lyles over from IGN. So make sure to write in with your questions and thoughts about PSVR 2, and we'll talk about him on that show. And then also, one more request. It is Janet Garcia's birthday, which means she is taking today off. She won't be on PS I Love You, but go over on Twitter and tweet at her at GameOnAssist and give her the best birthday wishes. She's turning 19 years old today. You love to see it. That's a lie. She's not turning 19. She's way older than that. But no,
you
of course,
don't even have to say that. Like we got it. It was cute.
Yeah, but like somebody, every time somebody says my age out here, people are like, "Wow, he's 21." I'm like, "No, I'm 27." People just like they make
jokes.
That's
not true. We say you're 27, and we're like, "Whoa, he's so young," or like, "Wait, no." We say, "Oh, wow, he's a lot older than he looks," because you look so young. Bless.
And I don't understand why.
Don't compare yourself.
I was having this conversation this weekend. Because, like, somebody was like, yeah, you could pass for a teenager. And I'm like, I don't understand why. I don't understand what it is.
You have
about
a young face. What are you supposed to do?
My young face.
You got a young face. Nothing can be done.
I don't
done.
Think it's your limbs.
You know?
You think it's my limbs? Are they, like, too skinny?
Just get real big.
I don't know.
I guess I have skinny arms. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, man. All I want is to not get carded anymore. Is that too much to ask? It's embarrassing every single time.
Have you thought about growing a beard?
I didn't like it that much. Do you know how embarrassing it is when like you go on a date and it's like your date is like, oh yeah, I'll have the Pinot Grigio or whatever, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll take a cider, and they're like, they only ask me for my card.
Okay, well maybe don't order a cider, you know? Maybe order an adult drink.
A cider is an adult drink. It's because beer tastes nasty. I love cider.
Yeah, that's the problem right there,
I want to talk about Armored Core.
Why do we drink beer when it's... Well, and I know this is going to start up a shitstorm, so whatever. Go for it. Tweet at me. I can't remember Greggy. Why do we drink beer when cider tastes significantly better? Huh, America? That's all I want to know. Thank you to our... It's been a minute since I've been on the show. I miss being on the show. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Pranksy. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, DoorDash, and Chime, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for Zoom News. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our quick five.
Really quick. Every time you go to lunch in the future with me at the new studio and you don't order an apple juice, I'm going to be like, why aren't you drinking an apple juice? It tastes great. It's just like a cider.
I said, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. What do you go? When you go out to lunch, do you order beer flavored water? No, because like beer is the thing you save for when you go out and drink, and then you have the option to drink cider when you're out drinking. That's the thing. Like apple juice is great. I don't know what shade you're throwing at apple juice.
Yeah, don't be talking shit about AJ.
It's just what I mean. What you're saying, it tastes great. So I'm just like, well, okay. When next time you want a milkshake, get an apple juice. Like what are you talking about? Like you know what I mean?
Milkshake
when
also tastes great. Beer tastes nasty. Is the point here?
You got to refine your palate. This is why everybody thinks you order off the kids' menu.
Yeah.
All right, don't go.
I don't like agreeing with him, but the band's right.
Don't be out here underrating the kids' menu, first of all. All right?
Oh, my God.
You get toys with that thing. Story number one, Take-Two has acquired Zynga. This is Daniel Pardis at gamesindustry.biz. Take-Two Interactive has announced it has reached a deal to acquire mobile developer Zynga. The publisher will purchase all outstanding shares of the Farmville maker with a total enterprise value of approximately $12.7 billion. Wow. The transaction represents a 64% premium to Zynga's closing share price on Friday, January 7th. The acquisition sees Zynga's portfolio of mobile titles fall under the Take-Two umbrella, including Empires and Puzzles, Merge Dragons, and Harry Potter Puzzles and Spells. Zynga CEO Frank Gibeau and President of Publishing Bernard Kim will oversee the firm's integration into Take-Two and lead the company's combined Zynga and Take-Two mobile games business, which will operate under the former. Take-Two is also set to expand its board of directors to 10 members, adding two members from Zynga's board. Looking ahead, Take-Two expects mobile to comprise over 50% of net bookings for fiscal year 2023 as a result of the merger, compared to the estimated 12% in 2022. The transaction is expected to close during Take-Two's first fiscal quarter, 2023, ending June 30th, 2022.
My birthday.
Hey, happy birthday. We are thrilled to announce our transformative transaction with Zynga, which significantly diversifies our business and establishes our leadership position in mobile, the fastest growing segment of the interactive entertainment industry, said Take-Two CEO and Chairman Strauss Zelnick. Quote, this strategic combination brings together our best-in-class console and PC franchises with a market-leading diversified mobile publishing platform that has a rich history of innovation and creativity. Zynga also has a highly talented and deeply experienced team, and we look forward to welcoming them into the Take-Two family in the coming months, end quote. For its most recently reported quarter, Zynga reported revenues of $705 million, a 40% year-over-year increase in earnings, and managed to improve its bottom line with reduced losses over the course of 2021. The transaction also marks the games industry's most valuable deal yet, beating out Tencent's 2016 acquisition of Supercell for $8.6 billion and Microsoft's acquisition of Bethesda parent ZeniMax for $7.5 billion in 2020. Tim, that's a lot of money. $12.7 billion.
Yo, and you know, to put that in context a little bit, like, Kev, wasn't Star Wars sold to Disney for $4 billion?
$4 billion. That's three Star Wars. That's one when they said, I was like, they can't be right. Like, isn't the Zynga building always, like, fucking going, like, like, the closing or some shit? I feel like every other week it's like, oh, it's closing. Used to be Sega.
I don't know about that. I don't know about anything you just said.
Yeah, no one does.
I mean, that sounds like a very Kevin thing to know, though.
Yeah.
Kevin's like eyeing the Zynga building. He's like, okay, maybe you could buy this, the new kind of funny studio.
The Sega building in downtown SF did close, but the Zynga building never closed. I don't think. And they're different buildings. Like, just to be extra clear.
Are they? But, for real?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Check that out. I'll check that out.
Plus, let me ask you a question. Zynga, right? Yeah. Zynga. What comes to mind? What games does Zynga make?
What comes to mind is the era of Facebook when, like, applications and games were dominating, right? Mm-hmm. Farmville, like, was Candy Crush Zynga?
No, that's King.
It's like, I mean, like, yeah, the Facebook games come to mind, honestly. So I'm sure, like, plenty of mobile.
That's the interesting thing. The mobile game is Words with Friends is, like, the big one. And, of course, there's been other big ones. But it is interesting because, like, hearing this, I feel like a lot of us are, you know, kind of not that into that world. So we hear it all. We just associate King and Zynga as being essentially the same thing, but they're very much not. Like, Zynga, this is way more, like you were saying, that Facebook type stuff that did translate to mobile. And a lot of the people playing were playing Facebook games and stuff on mobile devices. So that's kind of interesting. But I do think that that's a key note that this is not King. King is part of Activision Blizzard. So we are now having Take-Two, which is another one of the kind of big old, I'm going to gobble you up motherfuckers, and Activision kind of going head-to-head in an interesting way where Zynga and King are kind, there's some parity between them, even though they do slightly different things. But at the end of the day, what they both do is make a shit ton of money over and over and over for, like, low-hanging fruit type stuff. So this isn't surprising, especially as we move into this era of cryptocurrency and what that means for video games. Like, I don't think it'd be a surprise that this is kind of a first step towards that shift for Take-Two, which that's going to be something for everybody to deal with. But I also think that this is probably them continuing to leverage their IP in different platforms, especially on mobile. Like, we've already seen GTA get put onto every mobile device imaginable. You know, and like so many different ports, like so many classic, different forms.
Like the GTA trilogy, San Andreas in those games.
Exactly. So it's not like they're a stranger to putting things on mobile platforms, but I do think that so far they haven't done the, like, when we think of mobile games, like when the gotcha stuff and all of that, they haven't done that as far as I know. And at the very least, they haven't done it successfully.
Yeah, and this is a huge move for them, right? When you look at that specific figure of Take-Two expects mobile to comprise over 50% of net bookings for fiscal year 2023, compared to the estimated 12% in 2022, right? They're looking for mobile to be a huge part of the strategy going forward. And you mentioned them already having put the original GTA games on mobile, right? This strikes me as them trying to figure out how to translate their current IPs into mobile IPs. And that's the thing that even Strauss Zelnick has said in one of the quotes floating out there from their investor call, right? He says here, quote, "Perhaps most importantly, we have the ability together," and talking about Take-Two and Zynga, "from both a development and a publishing point of view to optimize the creation of new titles based on Take-Two's core intellectual property." When you talk about core intellectual property for Take-Two, you're talking about some big games, right? Talking about GTA, you're talking about Borderlands, you're talking about a wide array of games. And you know, you mentioned GTA being on platforms. The GTA game that has seen plenty of platforms now is GTA 5, right? And that is the one game that isn't on mobile. I can easily see them going, all right, GTA 5 is one of the most profitable games ever at this point. We've put it on we either put it or are putting it on every major console platform out there. How more can we proliferate, right? What else can we put this on? How can we continue to push GTA online? I mean, mobile is the next step, whether that is current GTA Online or whatever GTA Online is for the future, whatever GTA 6 inevitably comes out.
Well, bless you. You know what's interesting, too? Obviously, GTA 5 is an online specifically great things to pull out there. But what else does Take-Two own? 2K. What else does 2K not own but make? NBA 2K.
Yeah.
Right? It's like there's a lot of possibility for a lot of money to be made from all this. But it is just interesting to look at the list of games from Zynga and to try to figure out what the application could look like. Because a lot of these aren't the traditional type of mobile games that we think of. So I don't know. This whole thing kind of reads to me as kind of a distraction and not fully telling the truth of what's going on. I do think it's more trying to get user base and trying to get the Facebook type connections than it is necessarily about making the mobile games like they're saying it is. But we'll see. And also, yeah. Zynga does make games. Someone in the chat I saw earlier saying like they're working on Star Wars Hunters on the Switch. So it's not like they're just Facebook games or just mobile games, but they do make quote unquote real games. So yeah, I don't know.
And one more quote I want to pull from Strauss Zelnick as well, right? And it's him talking about some of the properties that they're working with, right? I'm pulling from an IGN article written by Jill Scrabbles, who writes, quote, "Our labels are home to some of the most iconic brands in the world, including Grand Theft Auto, which we've talked about, Red Dead Redemption, Midnight Club, NBA 2K, like you mentioned, Bioshock, Borderlands, Sid Meier's Civilization, Mafia, and Kerbal Space Program," end quote. And like, you know, some of those I can see. Some of those it's like, okay, are they going to make a mobile version of Mafia, for example, right? That seems like a bit further-fetched thing, but who knows? Maybe they did the remake last year, or I guess 2 years ago at this point. We're in 2022. That's wild. They made that remake and put it out, right? And so it's not like they're not thinking about Mafia. Interesting that they say Midnight Club. That's the one that kind of sticks out there as like a... Out of all those games, Midnight Club hasn't been around for a long time. Why do you really consider Midnight Club an actual key property for Take-Two? I think that's just an interesting one to throw out there. I don't know if it means anything, but interesting that they mention it. But yeah, like you say, right? NBA 2K, I could see how that translates. I can see especially translating that to a mobile strategy, how you can double down on that in order to sell players, sell like points allocated to your players. I've not played NBA 2K, my creative player, so I don't know exactly how that works. But knowing what the conversation around NBA 2K a lot of the times is, it seems like there's a lot to microtransact there on the in the mobile space, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see that. Civilization, I can see it. Even things like Kerbal Space Program, I'm sure there are ways you can translate that to mobile and other platforms in order to make that a bigger deal to more players that maybe wouldn't play it on consoles. And so it's very fascinating stuff. Like $12 billion, that's an amount of money that you're not going to put to waste. And so I expect for this to be a huge shift in strategy for them. I think it could be what you're talking about, right? In terms of, hey, yeah, let's get our foot in the door of Facebook and, you know, have those connections that Zynga has as a company. But I also think it's that twofold thing of let's do that and also like figure out how to really take advantage of the money we can make by translating the IPs that we have to mobile.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Tim, I got something exciting I want to talk about, and that is From Software's next game being the return of Armored Core. This is story number two. I'm pulling from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. From Software's next Armored Core game has reportedly been confirmed via a consumer survey. Reset Era user Red Licorice claimed on Saturday that he'd receive a survey from the Elden Ring and Dark Souls studio, which seemingly reveals the first details on the next unannounced mech combat game. The unnamed installment, which would be the first full Armored Core title since 2012, is set to feature a sci-fi world created by Hidetaka Miyazaki with three-dimensional dynamic action and a high degree of freedom and customization. Quote, "The game is a third-person shooter mecha action title that lets you move around an overwhelmingly scaled map that represents a unique sci-fi world with dynamic mech action," the alleged survey reads. Quote, "You'll face strong enemies in fierce battles, both long and short range, using guns and blades," end quote. The synopsis for the game reportedly sees the government, corporations, cultists, and unknown mercenaries battling over an alien substance that can, quote, drastically advance human society, end quote. Wow. According to the user, quote, the boss fight looked quite soulsy. The long-range gunfire reminded me of Virtual On. That's my frame of reference. I'm not a mech fan and haven't played any Armored Core games. The player character in a white mech went in close to the bigger robot boss and fought with like an energy or laser sword. This looked soul style, end quote. The user continued to say, quote, the field gameplay, the player in the same white mech seemed to be following a couple of other players in the distance, co-op, question mark, and they're walking, flying close to the ground maybe, through a snowy area towards either a large wall or gate. This seemed soulsy too. The vastness of the architecture, but it wasn't a castle, more like a worn down metal slash stone wall or gate. It was quite short, end quote. Tim, what is your take here on this Armored Core game from Software?
I mean, yo, this is kind of hype, right? Like, I think that this is the best chance Armored Core has ever had to succeed. And what a fucking story, man. More Saiyans out there, I'm sure, ready to write in and ask questions as he's asked about when we're going to get a new Armored Core for a bazillion years here at Kinda Funny. But I love that we've known that they've been working on an Armored Core game. Like, it was announced a long time ago, or at least like in the background it's been being worked on. But it now coming from Software after the success and the rise of Souls that we've had in the last decade, like, I think that, you know, to say that Souls has become a genre of its own is like almost ridiculous. Like, it is so much more than that at this point, where it's just like Souls games are such a thing, and it's been proven by things like Sekiro winning Game of the Year. It doesn't even need Souls in the name. People understand what it is. You know, they know what it means to be a Bloodborne, to be Dark Souls, Demon Souls, all this stuff. So to kind of take that and apply it to Armored Core, I think is brilliant, because it allows a different type of gameplay in the same way that Sekiro was a little bit more action focused, just like Bloodborne, compared to the Souls games. Mm-hmm. Armored Core allowing like long range, like a little bit more focus on lasers and shit, but also like they're describing here, having the up close melee sword, laser sword type shit. I think this could really work. And guess what? People love mechs, and people love Souls games, and people really love Miyazaki. So you put those things together, and like, yo, that's not only the best chance Armored Core has to be relevant, but it's the best chance Armored Core has to be good. And this has the potential to be a Game of the Year type contender if done right. That's crazy. I can't believe I'd ever say that about an Armored Core game, but like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like you said, it's crazy when you say that about Armored Core, right? Not that previous Armored Core games have been bad or anything like that, but it's more so the thing of From Software, since releasing whatever the last Armored Core game was, what, during like the PS3 era, I imagine, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, they've risen to a new echelon of developer. Like, they have made a name for themselves in a way that goes beyond like, oh yeah, From Software, they're that studio that we know for making cool action games that have a niche audience, now being that developer where this year they have one of the most highly anticipated titles in Elden Ring, right? A few years ago, they had a Game Awards Game of the Year winner in Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, right? Midway through the last generation of games, they had Bloodborne, which plenty of people would probably consider to be one of, if not the best PlayStation exclusive title on the platform, right? The audience is that passionate about it. To be that studio and to be able to come full circle and go, cool, now after putting out Demon's Souls and putting out Dark Souls and putting out Sekiro and putting out Elden Ring, you know, what do we want to do next? You know what? Let's go back to one of our, no pun intended, one of our core titles in Armored Core, and let's bring it back. Let's take the learnings that we've had over the last decade. Let's take Miyazaki, who is proven to be one of the best lead directors in the industry right now, and let's put him on this title that, you know, unlike Elden Ring, isn't necessarily a new IP. Elden Ring has a thing of, it's essentially a successor to Dark Souls, right? It is open world. It's speaking to the From Software audience in that way. And Elden Ring is going to be hella successful because of it. Armored Core has probably a lot of the same things in terms of, hey, this is From Software, this is Miyazaki. You know, the fan base is going to rock with this, but also it's an IP that you know. It's an IP that plenty of people want to see return. It's an IP that is different from everything else that we've made. And From Software, they've proven that when they make something that's different from what they've made before, they still know how to adapt their design sensibilities to make it good, right? Bloodborne was different from Dark Souls, yet Bloodborne still hit. Sekiro was even more different. Sekiro still hit, right? Elden Ring is going to be open world. We'll see if that hits. I'm confident that that's probably going to hit, right? Like, after all of that, seeing them work on Armored Core, which probably couldn't possibly be even more different, man, I can't wait to see how they do it and to see them possibly knock it out the park.
Absolutely, man. I mean, looking here, Armored Core 5 seems to be the last Core title. This was released back in 2012 on the PS3 and 360. There's a couple spinoffs after that. But yeah, it's a long time, man. And I feel like this is a great shot at for them to potentially just completely reboot it and change what the franchise is and means to people. And yeah, it's the most... The highest potential for the most audience they've ever had. And this game can speak loudly to people. Like, I haven't talked to Andy about this and I haven't seen his reactions, but I can only imagine he's stoked out of his fucking little mind about this. Cause you're going to give Andy Cortez mechs and From Software, like with what that means nowadays. Like, it's so funny. Cause like, this is where it all began, right? From Software with Armored Core, but it just means something different now. So I like that From Software means something different now. What could that mean for Armored Core now? And I think it can mean something really damn cool.
Now, does it speak to you when this Armored Core game comes out? And as I ask this question too, Kevin, if you can bring up the screenshots, because over on, I think it was Reddit or some website, it might have been Reset Era, it looks like screenshots have been uploaded. Yeah, Reset Era. Screenshots from the consumer survey have been uploaded. And the screenshots, very low quality, because I think this person was trying to scrub out the watermarks that were on it. So you can't really see things too clearly, but it is a taste of what this Armored Core game might look like based on the consumer survey. Tim, is this something that might speak to you?
I mean, dude, I love mechs, so why not, man? Like, I'm interested. I remember the Armored Core soundtrack kicking ass, and like, mechs and kick-ass soundtracks go a long way for me. And that on a quality video game, like, it's exciting for sure.
Yeah. I'm the same, where, you know, mechs in theory really speak to me, right? And I love things like Metal Gear, and even Nier Automata had like mech suits in it and shit. Zone of the Enders, right? And like, I've never played a mech game that is specifically an Armored Core like mech game, where it is, hey, no, you are controlling the mechs, you're playing this. The ones that I've tried haven't necessarily stuck with me. Like, I tried out Daemon X Machina when that came out, and it just did not stick with me. And so, like, you know, I think I'm in the circle of people who are like ready for something to come through that like I get hooked into. But like, I just haven't had that come by yet. And so like, I really hope that this is this, because like, you know, again, From Software, talented developer that I've grown to love now. And like, I think if anybody's going to do it well, it's going to be them.
Hell yeah.
So I cannot wait for it. Tim, you know what else I can't wait for? For people to check out patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Relationships aren't perfect, and MeUndies is celebrating our imperfectly perfect matches with their new Valentine's Day collection. I don't have to read the ad anymore. I can just tell you I'm wearing MeUndies, ladies and gentlemen. Always have been, always. Well, you know, not always, I guess. But what happened is I had a bunch of underwear I didn't like that much, and then I tried a couple pairs of MeUndies, and I was like, these are amazing, and I ordered a whole bunch of MeUndies, and now it's all I wear. And I am due for more. Maybe I'll do it here. Back to the ad. Gifting underwear for Valentine's Day? Wow, real groundbreaking. Express your one-of-a-kind relationship when you match your bottom half to your better half in fun limited edition prints. And if you're single, don't worry, you can mingle in matching pairs with your friends or even get dog hoodies and buddy bands to match your four-legged pal. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For a limited time only, get 25% off your first order of matching pairs for Valentine's Day. And as a first-time purchaser, you can also get 15% off in free shipping right now to your door. To get 25% off matching pairs, 15% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Guess what I use all the time, ladies and gentlemen? DoorDash. That's right. I come down here. I record the shows. I come upstairs. Jen's taking care of our newborn. Is a three-month-old. Our three-month-old. And guess what? We're both too tired to make food, so we order on DoorDash. We do it all the time, and you should too. You've got back-to-back meetings, errands to run, and chores to take care of. What's the secret to clearing your to-do list? A little help from DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essential items delivered to your door with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos. Choose from your favorite national chains like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download, that's you, download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that code is GAMES2021 1 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change. Terms apply. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no foreign transaction fees, and no service fees. Get all that and then some with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card. They've also got over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs all over the place, like at most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, or CVSs. You can access your money when you need it, where you need it. Make sure you make the first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at a MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes, pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds.
Before we get into story number three, Tim, there was a new trailer that popped up this morning that I watched that I don't know how I feel about. I don't know if you saw this one. A trailer for Bel Air.
I have not seen it yet. I have it pulled up, and after the show, I'm going to watch it.
Wait, what is it?
It's the Fresh Prince reboot.
Yeah, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air reboot.
The dark
but it's
reboot?
Like gritty. Yeah. And I watched the trailer. Halfway through the trailer, I felt like I was losing my mind.
Really?
I was laughing at it. Yeah.
Oh, you're laughing?
I might watch it. I was laughing because it's that it watching it feels like you're watching a parody trailer on YouTube that like a fan made of like, what if we took this like popular thing and like made it gritty and like recontextualize certain bits as like, oh, this is fucked up now.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's how it came to be.
Someone did that, and now it's a show.
And Will Smith saw that and was like, "Let's turn that to a show."
But that's like, not even a joke. I think that's exactly what happened. Will Smith was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea." I think he's.
You know what other show Will Smith's involved in? Cobra Kai, executive producer, baby. You got to watch that shit.
Really?
Bless.
You're fucking. Stay tuned. I didn't know that up right now. He just made that up. There's no way that's true.
No, look at any episode. Will Smith. Credited,
like our.
You
Will
know,
Smith.
I'm not going to look at any episode, Tim.
So you I mean not our round. Will Smith, the Will Smith.
I mean, he's my Will Smith. I'm not talking about games. I'm not talking about games industry Will Smith. I'm talking when I say my Will Smith, I mean Fresh Prince of Bel Air Will Smith.
Yes, that Will Smith because of the Karate Kid reboot with his kid.
Oh shit! Holy cow! Holy
it's connected.
Cow!
It's all connected.
That's wild. Now I gotta watch it. This.
I feel like
I'm not. I know I normally would fuck with you guys. I'm not fucking around with this. I swear to God.
But yeah, I would consider
STG.
Even if this is
that
like
good
a
shit.
What?
Nothing.
Kevin.
God damn it! I love you so much, Kevin.
Here's the thing, Tim. Even if it's like a Periscope STG. Type shit. Even if you do it on like your own personal Instagram, I need you to like live react to this Fresh Prince trailer. Is all I'm saying. All right? I need to see your reaction, or just text me your reaction. Let me know because I have a lot of thoughts and feelings. It's all over the place. Tim, you know what else is all over the place? This episode of KFGD. Let's get back on track with story number three. Sources say Sony has switched the Twisted Metal reboot developer. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. PlayStation has changed its plans for the in-development Twisted Metal reboot, sources have told VGC. Last year, VGC reported that a new car combat installment, which by release would be the series' first in over a decade, has started early development at the Liverpool, UK-based Destruction All-Stars developer Lucid Games. However, Video Games Chronicle has been told that the project has since ceased development at Lucid, and according to sources, Sony has decided to instead move the series revival to one of its first-party studios in Europe. Sony Interactive Entertainment and Lucid Games did not immediately respond to a request for comment. It's understood Sony still intends to bring back the car combat series in time to coincide with an upcoming TV series in 2023, and early work has begun at the unnamed first-party studio. Sources did not provide an explanation for the change of developer. However, one person suggested that the poor reception to Lucid's PS5 title, Destruction All-Stars, could have contributed to the decision. Tim, where are you at with this one?
You know, it's a bummer, man. Twisted Metal is very similar to me to Star Fox in so many ways, in that I love it so dearly and so much, and I just don't have any real hope that we're ever going to get anything that touches Star Fox 64 or Twisted Metal Black. And at some level, that's fine. We have those. Those aren't going away. I can always go back to them and get my kick. I do think Star Fox 64 holds up 100%, and I can stand by that because I played through it recently on the Switch OLED with the – or not OLED, with the online on my OLED. And with Twisted Metal Black, it's like some of the things that I loved most about it were the kind of edgelordy kind of pushing the boundary shit that are – probably cringy and embarrassing now, but when I was like 12 years old, hearing Sweet Tooth say motherfucker was the coolest thing in the world. So I don't know what a modern Twisted Metal could look like to satisfy me, but I'm hopeful and I want to see it. Like, I think Twisted Metal is a very cool franchise with cool ideas. I did not like the PS3 version of it because it stripped away what I like most about Twisted Metal, which is the characters. Mm-hmm. And they like pared that down like ridiculously. But yeah, this news is not surprising. I guess at the end of the day, I'm a little happy because I didn't like Destruction All-Stars from little I played. And it is kind of that thing I always talk about, like with Smash Brothers and PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. If you're going to do the thing, just do the thing. And they didn't quite do it. Like, they were just like, yeah, it's like Twisted Metal, but it's not. And it's a different type of shit. And then hearing that they were working on Twisted Metal, it's like, okay, well, they didn't really get it right the first time. So I don't know. I also don't think that they fucked it up that bad. So it's interesting to see where this is actually going to land. I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up just not happening and getting canceled somewhere along the way. The fact that they doubled down and officially talked about the TV show at CES a couple days ago is surprising to me. Like, what the hell is that going to be? I hope that it's good. I think it has even less of a chance of being good.
You see that it stars Anthony Mackie?
No, I didn't. That's cool as hell, though. That's
old news, but yeah, like, from the on Variety, I think the synopsis is out there for like what the story setup is. It's him essentially, I think, delivering a package in the Twisted Metal universe. And in my head, I contextualize that as like this is a very specific reference, but like a combination of Mad Max and the movie 30 Minutes or Less. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I have.
Yeah, the movie is about the pizza delivery driver. He gets a bomb strapped to him. I think it might be a meeting of the middle somewhere in there. And if that's the case, I think it has potential. I think that could sound, I think that sounds kind of fun. Anthony Mackie, I think, is a funny dude who like I want to see in more comedic roles. I hope it's that. It could be gritty. It could be like serious and gritty. I don't necessarily want that from a Twisted Metal Anthony Mackie series. But if they lean into sort of the camp of it and the goofiness of it, I think there could be something cool there. I think the interesting thing about this news is that the TV series, the upcoming TV series, is due in 2023. And if a studio is in like the beginning processes of making this game, what does this game look like coming out in 2023?
So, I mean, that's the interesting thing about this, though, is that a Twisted Metal game, I think ironically, less is more with it. Like, I feel like it being a smaller title is actually the best chance at it actually succeeding, because the thing about it is, at its core, it's a multiplayer game, and what a multiplayer game means in 2022 or 3 is very different than what it meant back on the original PlayStation, right? Twisted Metal 2 is one of the most iconic multiplayer games of all time, but that was for a very different time. Mm-hmm. Now there's different expectations, and I think that the Twisted Metal PS3 game really came out at a fascinating time of trying to redefine what multiplayer can mean in that PS3 era, but it totally didn't stick the landing. And that was at a time when multiplayer was being redefined by things like Call of Duty. So where we're at now, for a Twisted Metal to succeed, I don't know that that's possible, like on a major big level. So don't put this out as a big AAA game. Put it out as something smaller. Like, I'm not even necessarily saying free to play. I think even more like the $20-$30 type of title.
Yeah,
that, because I'm putting that price tag, there's an expectation to it, right? I think that could work, and I think that wouldn't require as long of a development cycle depending on what they make the game. Like, if they just go back to what it used to be, and what you're saying even about like sticking with the campiness of it all, like, I think they could make something fun, like a more like retro nostalgia kind of game, as opposed to we're trying to redefine online multiplayer.
Yeah. Also, John Bob Stab in chat mentions the show is being written by the Deadpool and Zombieland guys too, which I think led me down that line of thinking of, oh yeah, this has to be more campy, has to be more goofy. And I'm right there with you that making a Twisted Metal game in 2022 or 2023 is a task, right? Like, there are so many questions that pop up of how do you make this work? If it's an online game, if it's an online only game, what are the modes that need to be in there to make it work? Does it need to be just deathmatch? Do you need to make it objective based? Do you have to take cues from like an Overwatch or even a Fortnite or like something that is doing it right now in terms of this is how you make an ongoing game in 2022, right? Like, what cues do you need to take? I don't know how you do that with a car-based game, like a car combat-based game, because we don't have many examples of that type of game that's out there killing it right now. I mean, there's Rocket League, right? But that's soccer, right? That is a sports game at its heart. Hey, they call it soccer. That's them. That's not me. I didn't make that up.
But then you didn't need to, Bless. You didn't have to do that. You brought that to this Bless show, okay?
Right. It didn't feel right saying out loud. I'll admit it. I didn't like it coming out of my mouth, but hey, here we are. Hey, Kevin liked it. Rocket League kind of has it, but that's kind of a different thing. Like, if you're focusing in on what makes Twisted Metal, it has to be destruction, it has to be combat, and trying to make that work.
Character, I'm telling you guys, this is what makes Twisted Metal special: is the characters, is the wackiness, and the backstories. And you, like, the one thing to me that they need to nail on top of the gameplay and stuff, because the gameplay will translate to multiplayer if you just get it right. But what they need is investment in characters and story, where I want to play through the very short campaign with multiple characters because I want to see their midpoint story, their endpoint story. It's an old type of nostalgic gaming that we don't see too much nowadays. But as the industry kind of matures and grows, and the definition of what is retro moves with that, the idea of 2D platformers being retro is over. Like, 2D platformers are retro. 2D platformers are now as common as anything else, that they're just a genre.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're just 2D platformers, they're just back. And I feel like now it's kind of going to that next step, and I do think that they can make a Twisted Metal work again as a smaller title, but just understanding the core of what people actually latched onto in the first place.
Apocalypse Cow in chat says character, which there you go. My one other question too is, who is working on this now? If it's not Lucid, then what European PlayStation studio is working on this? I look at the list of European PlayStation studios, right, and we have XDev, which is a support studio, they're not doing it. Nixxis, which is a port house, right, they port shit to PC, they're not doing it. Media Molecule, which I hope they're not doing it. I wouldn't think Media Molecule is doing it, right? Housemarque, they're not doing it. Guerrilla Games, they're probably not doing it. That brings us to Firesprite and London Studio. London Studio has already been working on a multiplayer title for a little bit. There was a job posting that went up, I think, last spring now, that they're looking to hire people to work on a PS5 multiplayer game. And so unless they're somehow doing both, or they put that title on pause to work on this, I don't know if they're working on this, but it's a maybe, right? It's a maybe. And then the other being Firesprite could be a good contender. Historically, they're doing VR games, right? And they are working on the newly announced Horizon game that is coming out for PSVR 2. And so it seems like they're pretty busy, but they're also a really big studio. I believe they're Sony's biggest European studio at this point, or one of the biggest European studios for Sony at this point. And so, like, hey, maybe they have the bandwidth to also work on a console Twisted Metal game as well. But it seems like it's between those two. And if I had to guess, I'll probably guess Firesprite for the size of that studio. And so we'll see. We'll see about that one. Let's round out the report with story number 4. This is a rumor. Paramount has reportedly signed a deal with Epic Games to bring characters to Fortnite. This is Jacob at Fortnite News. Only 12 days after it was revealed that Microsoft is working with Epic Games to bring characters to Fortnite, the same source has shared information of a similar deal with Paramount. According to the latest Xbox Era podcast on YouTube, Paramount has signed a deal with Epic Games that will allow multiple characters to be added to Fortnite as wearable outfits. During the podcast, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were mentioned as the main characters that Epic is working to introduce to the game. Hell yeah. With the newly signed deal between Epic and Paramount, it's likely that more than just the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will be coming to Fortnite. It's worth noting that Paramount owns SpongeBob SquarePants, Avatar The Last Airbender, and many more characters that could all potentially be added to the game in the future. So take that all with a grain of salt, But it sounds like a thing, right? That sounds like that sounds like Aang, it makes sense.
Aang gliding down would be so cool. But Aang holding a submachine gun, you know, less cool, I guess.
I mean, they've given more ridiculous character guns in that game, right? Like, why is Spider-Man running around with a Glock in his hand?
Kev,
doesn't make sense.
Kev, who are your kind of, like, do you have a main, or like, no, do you kind of alternate between a couple?
I have 75 like pre-built characters that I put together.
Wow.
That it alters in between. And I'm very excited when I get any number of them. But, like, I don't know. Like, some of my favorite ones are, like, characters that don't, like, they're not real characters. They're just made by Fortnite. But I also, I'm a huge fan of, like, getting Terminator or Iron Man or Sigourney Weaver from Aliens.
Yeah. What about when you get to be Donatello? Is that your end game?
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, I mean, I'm probably at some point going to start deleting the generic ones that are made by Fortnite that don't hit as hard for the characters that I like more, like your Supermans or Spider-Mans, mm-hmm. Rick and Morty's. God, there's so many good ones. And the games can, we play for so long that we see a lot of those people too. Like I'm getting a good mix of the 75 pre-builds. We can go up to 100, I think. So I'm gonna keep building.
With this Paramount deal, give me iCarly. give me what I want. Give me iCarly with a gun in her hand, going through, gunning down Spider-Man and shit. I'm on the Paramount Plus homepage right now just to see, like, okay, what are the things that they're pushing? And you know, it's a mix. It's a mix. There's that. There's the new South Park special. I could be down for some South Park in Fortnite. I don't know how they make that work.
No,
with
that's
the art
not
style.
By Paramount, is it?
I mean, the South Park, the post-COVID special is on the Paramount Plus. Like, it's there exclusively.
They have a deal with them, yeah, but like,
they don't own it.
Warner. They don't own the rights of the characters, is what I'm saying. I think that's
gotcha.
What they need to do.
Gotcha. There's Clifford, the big red dog. Mm-hmm. That's on Paramount.
Sure.
Ethan Hunt.
Oh, that would be fire.
Yeah,
Ethan Hunt would be great in Fortnite.
I
I'm
could
also
see that.
At the Rugrats.
I honestly could see that happening for the next one, the one in space.
Yeah, Mission Impossible 7.
That actually makes a lot of sense. That lines up.
Hell yeah,
Tim! I cannot wait to see what Paramount characters get added into Fortnite. But that's probably just so far away. If I wanted to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, it's a light release week. You're getting Procross S7, which I've seen plenty of people getting excited about, and Starballs for Switch. Both of those are coming
Starballs.
Out on Switch. Starballs. New dates for you. The Company Man launches January 21st on Nintendo Switch worldwide, and then Serious Sam Siberian Mayhem is coming out on January 25th on Steam. Deals of the day for you. This is via Wario 64. There is a Nintendo Switch Digital Games New Year sale. Right now, you can pick up games like Borderlands The Handsome Collection for $15.99, Burnout Paradise Remastered for $8.99, and Shin Megami Tensei 5 for $41.99. So hop on that. Now it is time for reader mail. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. You can write in with your squad ups, but you can also get your questions read on the show, just like Malcontent Ronan did. Ronan writes in and says, "Hey guys," and this is all the way back to the 2K or Take Two Zynga acquisition. "I always recall hearing how the worst microtransactions, in fact, belong to the NBA 2K series. I say they belong to Zynga, which pioneered predatory microtransactions with Farmville, creating the concepts of pay to win and pay just to keep playing. Seeing them undertake to you may result in nothing, but it also could easily result in pure evil." Tim, what say you?
Damn, pure evil. I mean, like, you're not wrong, but, like, damn, when you put it like that. Yeah, I mean, look, this is the kind of something I think we're going to see a lot more, and we've already seen a lot, which is kind of the conglomeration of different monetization strategies, where when you have the IP, your IP is only worth as much as you can sell it for. So find a bunch of different ways to sell it and make as much money as humanly possible from all of it. Take Two are huge, right? Like we were saying earlier, like all the different IP that they have, like just counting NBA 2K and GTA, we're talking about two games that are on the top selling list every single month. Doesn't matter what month of the year it is. And you know, in the case of GTA, we're talking a decade after release. Like, that's insane. So taking that and applying this logic and like the microtransactions and all this stuff, like, yeah, there's, it's a slippery slope that they are sliding down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you're not wrong, Malcontent Ronin, in terms of, hey, Zynga, in terms of microtransactions, right? Like, they're I mean, you can probably call them pioneers in terms of like mobile monetization and how that has gone over the last decade and how that's grown. And like, in a lot of ways has been predatory, in a lot of ways has been pretty egregious in terms of, oh yeah, pay to win, pay to continue, pay to do anything, even though you're downloading a free game. I don't necessarily see that invading the like Take-Two's console space. I do see that stuff persisting in the way that it already persists on Zynga, or for Zynga on the mobile side of things, right? I don't think Take-Two buys Zynga and goes, all right, now let's fix your monetization. No, they buy Zynga and go, cool, let's keep that monetization because you guys are making money. This is why we're buying you for $12 billion with B. That makes a lot of sense that like they find ways and to translate their already existing IPs onto mobile and figure out how to take those same monetization techniques and apply them to Take-Two's IP. I think that is inevitable. And I also think it's a thing that pretty much any big publisher, any big company that is making the transition to mobile probably has to reckon with to some extent. I think, you know, we're seeing, or at least we've seen reports of PlayStation doing the same, doing a similar shift in terms of getting their games or their IPs on mobile. They've been hiring people to work on in that division and figure that out for them. I'm sure for them, there's going to be there's going to be a big effort to figure out what does PlayStation monetization look like on mobile. And you're probably going to see things that you're not super happy with if you're a PlayStation fan out there, right? You're going to see games that you're going to see probably God of War or Horizon or whatever IP that you like translated to mobile, and then you're going to see monetization in those games in ways that make you go, ah, shit, really? Horizon? You're doing this Horizon? I think that's inevitable. I think even for the companies that we mentioned already that already have mobile strategies, you've probably seen those there as well. Even Nintendo, who I think historically, when you're talking about microtransactions and you're talking about like the shit that we look at and like loot boxes and all this shit that we're like, oh, gross. Nintendo being the ones that historically even stay away from those things. There are some cases with Nintendo on the mobile games.
Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes. I forget the name of the
Dragalia Lost.
Yes, exactly. Dragalia Lost is the one I was thinking of, right? Like, you know, there are things here and there that you see in those games that you wouldn't historically see or traditionally see from Nintendo on the console side. I think that stuff is inevitable because that is what the mobile market is. But I don't look at this Take-Two acquisition of Zynga and go, ah, shit, they're gonna fuck It Takes Two. Or not It Takes Two, sorry. Take-Two Interactive. Man, now I see why that lawsuit took place. They're gonna fuck Take-Two Interactive. It's like, no, Take-Two Interactive already kind of has a lot of their own shit going on with NBA 2K and even with GTA Online when you look at the transactions there as well. I think it is what it is, and you know, it's a thing that we're going to have to kind of deal with on the mobile side of things, sadly. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you were wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as you got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Xavier Spirit writes in and says, cider beer is nasty. Hashtag team beer. Xavier Spirit, I'm going to need you to time yourself out in the live chat for 69 seconds. Thank you very nice. Much. Ignacio Rojas says, 2K already puts out mobile NBA 2K games. Appreciate that. Ignacio also mentions that Civilization is also already on mobile. The full Civ 6 game is on mobile. So thank you for that. Very good. You're wrongs right there. And then Timmy Buddy comes with the confirmation that Paramount indeed does not own South Park, but they own all the distribution rights of the series. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, who created it, still own the rights to the characters and everything in the South Park universe. So there you go. Damn, they must there be balling a lot of money in their pockets.
Oh, yeah. Big ballers.
Just swimming in hundreds. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow it is Greg and Gary Whitta. Wednesday, it's me and Andy Cortez. Thursday is Greg and Tim motherfucking Geddes. And on Friday, we close it out with me and Timur from GameSpot. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is the morning show with Mike, Andy, and Nick. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.